You don't find that suspicious?
What's up? It's your boy Eve Rue, host of the Dynast Podcast. See, I'm trying to get my shit together here still. Yeah, man. Things you got to do for money, man. I tell you. My man State is late, so I don't know how long it's going to take him to get in here. But I figured I'd just start the pod, talk to the people. Yo, man, I took a nap. I worked 5 to 5 today, man. 5 to 5 this morning. You know, just so I can get my ones together. Just to get a little bit of change. You know what I'm saying? So I can maybe one day see a Knicks game, maybe next year, something like that. It is what it is, man. But, you know, like I said, State works, man. He's working right now, so I'm quite sure that he probably saw that I went live, and he probably clicked the link and said, oh, shit, this guy's online right now. So he's probably running right now trying to find his computer. Probably running trying to get to his spot, you know, get himself together. I'm probably washing his face because he's sweating. You know what I'm saying? Trying to look cool. Trying to get himself together before he goes live on the air. We're not sponsored by Poland Spring. It would be nice though. Fucking water's expensive. Yo, man, I went to like a vegan spot and I'm looking for water, right? No, not for me, because I don't drink water. No, I'm just playing. I'm looking for water to drink, whatever. So I'm looking. All they had was like $5 waters. So is that like the new world that we're living in now, that you can't even get a dollar water? They don't even sell water, you know, like you can't even get a cup of water from people. They only sell $5 and up water at a vegetarian spot. You know, is that what we lead into right now? So I mean, like the gas right now, gas is like, it's like $4. I spent like $60 to fill up a freaking Honda Accord. Are you kidding me? You know, so I'm you know, counting my blessings that I don't have like a gas guzzler or anything like that. Because I almost did buy one. I had a Honda Element for work. And then my wife has a Accord, but I just been driving the Accord. And I was going to buy something a little bit bigger. But thank God I didn't do it, man. I'm going to wait until maybe, you know, when maybe the summer starts, maybe at the end of the year. You know, but could you imagine how much like a regular car? I can't even imagine what you guys are paying for gas to fill up. Like I said, $60 for a Honda Accord. You know, and that's like one of the like the most you know, generous gas guzzling cars that you can possibly get. You know, so I can't even imagine what guys are paying for gas right now. How much you guys paying for gas? You know, so you got to pay $60 to fill up. Then you go to the vegetarian spot. They're already overcharging you because you're a vegetarian. So you got to pay like, you know, $20 for like a small, you know, $20 is plus tax, and they throw in COVID tax up on you too. You know what I'm saying? You can't just get one thing. You got to get a couple things when you're in a vegetarian spot. You know, because, you know, I don't eat food. I don't eat, you know, meat and shit like that. You know, so I got to stack up on whatever else I'm going to get just to hold me for the day. So I'm spending like $25 just for one meal. And then on top of that, you want me to spend $5 extra on water? God damn, man. I'm about to like get me like a, you know, one of them fucking socket wrenches to see if I can bust open a Johnny pump on somebody's ass, man. Just so I can get me some water. So anyway, yo, truthfully, I don't know what the fuck this podcast is about. All I know is to stay hit me up. So yo, we potting today? So all right, cool. What time you want to go on? Regular time? Yeah, regular time, 9:30. All right, cool, 9:30, whatever. I woke up literally like at 9:15, you know, because I could hear my kids and stuff yelling. So I had to do damage control. That's why I was 5 minutes late, you know. So now we're still waiting for State to get up on this thing. So, I mean, it is what it is, man. It's hard out here for people, bro. Yeah, man. Oh, my God. Don't tell me you had a Silverado. Lord have mercy. I could imagine. The Silverado got to be like, at least $80 to $90 to fill up that motherfucker. So I got a 14-gallon tank, so I can't even imagine. You get a stiller and never pay for water. I get you, man. Yo, could you imagine that? We're gonna have to like bootleg water, you know, to get water from people, like a speakeasy just for water, you know, charging motherfuckers at work. Yo, I got a filter in the crib, you know, and bring like bootleg water into work. Could you imagine that? I think that's where we're leading to right now. Because I mean, like, you got a snack station at work, everybody sells whatever they sell. But even then, man, you find like, 250 water, that type of thing. The essential water. They don't even sell Poland Spring anymore. Even my wife, she won't drink Poland Spring anymore. It has to be something a little bit more. She gets these for the kids because they're small. If they made small waters like this for like essential or something like this, she would get those for the kids. Shit is whack. I said, anyway, what's the living wage right now for people? I saw people talking about the minimum wage, $15. Is that a wage that you can live off of? It's the minimum wage. I remember when I was younger, like high school, the minimum wage was like 5.50 or something like that, or 2.70. Like, no, nah, it wasn't 2.75. That's a what do you call a subway ride right now? Shit is crazy. Anyway, 5.50 I believe was the minimum wage when I was a kid. So I can imagine living off of 5.50. People do it, man. They work all those hours and stuff, stack up, work more than one job. God damn, 120 for the Audi. For the Audi, son. You know what I'm talking about? 120. Why are you driving an Audi? Drip more? What's the matter with you? You got a downgrade to a Accord. So I just got the boop. Just got the boop. So this is my stand-up comedy show. Stand-up comedy show to warm up you guys before a state gets up in here. Because like I said, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing today. I don't know what we're talking about. I know I set it up. I'm the one that set it up. I think we're going to talk about RJ. RJ got hurt. We're going to talk about OB and quickly. Least that's what I put up. So we'll figure it out. I don't know what the fuck we're talking about today. Yeah, but anyway, State's laughing. He's getting his do-rag together. I don't know what the fuck is going on. I miss this motherfucker, man. What's going on, State?
Yo, man. What's up, man? What's up, man? I'm not a company man, man. What's up, man? I got interesting news. I got breaking news. Right. I'm gonna break this news with you guys. Now, as you can see, I have this black amount in my hand, right? I haven't smoked a black amount in 3 years.
And you're in the hospital, by the way, I just gotta say.
Well, there's a reason for this, though. So, I got bags under my eyes, right? I've been getting screamed at for the past 3 days about nothing. Nothing I've done. I've done nothing.
You got married or something? What happened?
No.
Oh.
And I've been told that a menstrual cycle has been missed. Yeah.
The plot thickens.
So I think, yeah. I think I probably might be having a little one soon.
Hey, man. Let me know if you need anything.
I don't even know what to say, bro. I'm just tired of getting screamed on.
Yo, enjoy, man. If that's what's happening, you gotta like you gotta just enjoy the whole ride. What the fuck is going on with that shit?
Oh, man, yo, but
I have three kids. I got an 18-year-old from previous relationship, obviously. Then I got a six and a So how old are my kids? I got an eight and a 6 year old, So this is what it is. Life is a journey, man.
Don't be bad. I'll be forgetting my family members' ages sometimes, man.
I'll be forgetting my kids' names. I'll be calling names, they look at me like, I think this motherfucker calling me. Like they already know.
Oh man. So I don't even know where to start off first. Matter of fact, let me start off here. All right, I just had a conversation with an OG Nick fan that works at my job, actually. And he kind of fucked me up with this. He kind of fucked me up with this. And this is the whole playing the kids minutes. And this is the whole, yo, salute Julian, salute, what up, Kevin? What up, all of you guys, man? I appreciate all of you guys, man. Appreciate all of you guys. He was basically telling me like the Knicks already had a plan, right? So they already had a plan for the kids. And think about it like this. He got me at this point. It's not enough practices to go around within the past 2 years because of COVID. So it's not like the team can consistently practice together when they're on the road in order to get better. So maybe, and this is how he was explaining it to me, and this was the best explanation I had got in for defense of Tibbs. So maybe the amount of limited practices that they had, maybe that attributed to Tibbs not injecting the kids early on the way we would have liked it. Maybe he was just protecting them. But that's the way he tried to explain it to me. And I said, like, it sounds good. But when you play Alec Burks the whole season for 40 fucking minutes, while Quickly is clearly flourishing off the bench and he needs to start, what can you say to me to that?
So his, you don't find that suspicious?
So very suspicious. But his rebuttal for that was, you don't think Quickly excelling off the bench? And I couldn't even argue that. So I'm just that's where I'm at with it.
Was his name Thibodeau? Was his last name Thibodeau?
No. He wants Thibodeau fired. But he was giving me an explanation upon maybe that was one of the reasons why.
That's bullshit. Is he a company man? Does he work for MSG in his part-time or something like that?
Not even. That's my guy. He bad cool. That's my guy. Hopefully, I told him he was getting on in a few, so hopefully he'll be in the comments very soon. And I know he's downstairs. Cool. But that's basically how he said it. For me, bullshit. And I just let you start off first. You know I was pissed off yesterday about the Knicks winning. Everybody knows this. If you know math, you knew the reason why I wanted the Knicks to lose yesterday. But Tibbs is a criminal, and he's going to try to win every fucking game that he can. No problem. The green, the light, though, is Obi Toppin, a player that me and you previously written off. We disrespected that man. I ain't even gonna lie. I think you was a little harsher than me, but we was very disrespectful that man. Kenny Skywalker, James Posey, we was disrespectful. But at the end of the day, how do you feel about Obi now and the us drafting him and finally seeing him actually flourish, starting and getting these major minutes?
Well, I tell you this. I think the dude is like, when it comes to like preparing for a player, like teams are not prepared for Obi Toppin right now. So that's one thing too. You know, he's out there just kind of just playing. There's no real scouting report or anything that he's doing because he hasn't really done any of the shit that he's doing now. He's never done it before. You know, so how do you stop Obi Toppin? That's gonna be the next evolution in his game. Because a lot of people are talking about trading Julius Randle. We want Julius Randle gone. I think everybody wants him gone. But there's a different everybody looks at him differently. They think that he's Amari Stoudemire. They think that he can play center and things of that nature. But once NBA teams key on that and they know that Julius is not here and now Obi Toppin is the one, so then defenses are going to be keying on Obi Toppin. So can Obi Toppin withstand that? That's the next evolution of him. So that's what I'm worried about. I'm worried about his ability to get strong. You know, the comments that he gave also, I wish I had it queued up. I'm trying to find it now. But
you want me to DM you those comments? And by the way, those comments sound like subliminal shots. All of them. Yeah. Everything he said.
Yeah, send it to me. I'm trying to find it now. But he was basically talking like that he's getting minutes now. He don't got to worry about somebody coming behind his back, taking his minutes and stuff like that. But I mean, that to me, listening to it as somebody that's older, that's been around or whatever, that to me is kind of immature a little bit, because I mean, the only way that you could concentrate is if nobody else is going to come off the bench to take your minutes. I mean, the NBA is always going to be somebody to come take your minutes. So what's going to happen next year? Let's say we trade Julius Randle and then we get somebody else, somebody else they could play. And this guy is going to, start taking minutes from Obi. If Obi's not playing good on D or if he's getting abused, or now the defense is a keen on him and he can't really, function, whatever. And what if Tom Thibodeau has another veteran now on the bench? Then he's going to take Obi's minutes again too. And then Obi's going to be nervous that Tom Thibodeau's going to take him out for this other guy, that's something that I don't want to have to go through next year.
That's scary. That is a good, that's a great point. That's scary, but I don't think it's, I don't think we would have to worry about that, honestly. I think, I give you, so to piggyback off what you just said, I'll give you an example of something like that, where you, about what you just said. Let's say if we trade, Julius Randle for Jalen Brunson in the trade, right? In the signing trade, right? And let's say if we get the number one overall pick, because I'm going to keep manifesting that shit. I'm manifesting us getting a top four pick this year. So let's say if we get the number one overall pick, we draft Paolo Banchero. Would he be scared? That's the point.
Yeah, I mean, Banchero, if he comes in here, he's going to, I think he's going to be our starter. You know, at least that's what my hope is. You know, Tom Thibodeau's crazy. But, you know, he's more physical than Obi. You know, Obi Toppin is older, plus he has more NBA experience. But I think this kid, Banchero, when he comes in, I think he's going to be ready from day one. So, I mean, if you get a guy like that that plays that position, like, where does he play? You know, how do you – you know, that's going to be somebody else that Obi Toppin is going to be looking like, oh, my God, this guy's going to take my minutes. So what's going to happen? Like, he's going to sulk now because Banchero's a rookie coming up the – you know, coming into the team and he's going to take his minutes? You know, are we going to have to deal with that? You know, and to me, I don't think that he could play center, man. You know, somebody said it here. I've been saying it for the longest time, you know, that he reminds me of Sean Marion. Who said it? I can't find it. Oh, here it goes. Drip Moore said it just now. But I've been saying it for the longest that Sean Marion is my comp for Obi Toppin. If you look at what was it, 34 points? He scored 34 points, right?
36 points?
Ooh. Yeah. You know, so, I mean, he scored those points. He didn't score like Amari. He didn't score like a power guy. He scored it like a finesse dude. He scored those points just like Sean Marion would score. You know, and also too, he like you like to mention the hockey assist. Yo, how many hockey assists did he have that game too, man?
Yo, his court awareness is beautiful. He makes quick reads. He understands where he needs to be. Obviously, he needs to get stronger. Obviously, there's some things he needs to work on, like posting up. But honestly, Obi's constant motion. The dude, he affects your offense in positive ways where he does not need to dominate the ball. I guess that's the thing that I love. Like he doesn't need the ball. He doesn't need the ball to dominate a game, and it's fun to watch. And Obi Toppin, 9 games as a starter this season, 18 points per game, basically 7 rebounds per game, 3 assists per game, 43% from 3, and a 68% true shooting percentage. So wow. Those are great numbers. Those are great numbers. His free throw percentage goes up. Like everything goes up when he's the starter. The energy goes up with the team. With me, when it comes to Obi Toppin, it's not about his numbers. It's about the way he affects the game. So I'm really not worried about Obi Toppin now or the future. I really like him. I really like the way he thinks as far as him as a player.
Well, you know, if I could add to it to keep it Knicks, you know, he kind of reminds me of Dave the Butcher too. I didn't see Dave play live, you know, but I watched a lot of, you know, footage of him and, you know, just my dad, what he's talking. You know, most super old heads, you know, 60s and stuff like that, they talk about how that those championship teams that they didn't even put the ball on the floor. They just was running up the court, just getting fast breaks without even dribbling, that type of stuff. So perpetual motion, somebody said that, constant motion, that's what Drip Moore said. You see, Drip Moore got a little gray in his beard, so he might know a little bit about Dave Butcher or whatever, you know. But you know, I think the Knicks, you know, I keep saying it too. We need to pass tradition on. You know, we have a tradition of basketball, like the way that we won championships, the way that Ewing was here, and all this other stuff. We have tradition. It's not just Melo's era. It's not just you know, the '90s era. You know, we have a tradition of basketball, so. I would love to get back into that perpetual motion shit, that fast break basketball, the everybody could pass, everybody could dribble, that type of thing, you know. So if we can get that back, it would be great. But in order for Obi Toppin to function, to have him out there and be that energy guy, we're gonna need a freaking you know, center, you know. We're gonna need you know, that what's Willis Reed. We're gonna need a Willis Reed. Yeah, and if you want to say Sean Marion had Amari Stoudemire. Amar'e Stoudemire was one of like the most gifted, you know, post-up players, inside players, you know, of the generation, you know, when he was playing, man. So, you know, in order for you know, Obi to be successful, we need that guy on the inside to take the pressure off him. You know, because Kobe's not going to be that guy.
Nah, but Josh presented an interesting question. Where is this question? And I love the question. It's crazy because people, you know, shout outs to Josh, MBK fam. People be trying to, you know, get at Josh. I even get at Josh, but I personally like the question. Like, and he said, but what if? It's just like a what if scenario, Doctor Strange and another multiverse. What if Obi turns out to be the number one option for the Knicks instead of RJ? Obviously, it's going to take some time, but what if? So that's the type of scenario where you have a point guard, right, who gets Obi the easiest amount of buckets possible efficiently, because we know RJ is a high volume shooter, but Obi is more efficient. So if he was able to get me a point guard who can, you feel me, like compound that, then I can see it happening.
Do we have a point guard now? Because you mentioned Julius for Brunson. Is Quickly that guy?
Yo, let me shoot this question at you. Logically, if Obi's going to start next season, right, why wouldn't you promote Quickly with him? Even if I don't view Quickly as a point guard. Let me say that again. I don't view Quickly as a point guard. I view him as a combo guard. But if you're going to start Obi, start Quickly too. Start them both. Graduate them both. And you know what else? I'm praying to God we get a top four pick so that said pick could graduate with Quickly and Obi. So now I got Quickly, Obi, RJ, that pick. And I don't even care who the vet is in that starting five. I just want to see them win some games. That's when I would want to see something like that. That shit sounds fun as hell, dog. RJ, Quick, and Obi next shit. But they got to get some wins, bro.
Well, you know, maybe that's the collateral that Tom Thibodeau's trying to get with all these meaningless wins and stuff. Maybe he's trying to get that get these guys, you know, assimilated. Because I mean, if everybody wants them to play next year, the band-aid is off. You know what I'm saying, guys? You know, Obi Toppin, if he's gonna be the starter, like I said, the guys are gonna start keying on him. You know, if Quickly is gonna be the starter, then guys are gonna start, you know, really like planning their whole defense to stop him. You know, so, you know, it's professional basketball. This is not, this is not like a rec league shit. You know, guys, you know, they show up and they prepare for guys. They know the ins and outs. They know how to stop them, how to stop the floater. They know how to keep the ball out of his hands, that type of thing. So, I mean, I just put up the last game just to put the stats up. I mean, it's kind of incredible, man. The rebounds is one thing I want to say too with Obi. Obi don't rebound like that.
Can I give you a valid? You may not like it, but it's a good excuse.
Yeah.
The reason why Obi Toppin rebounds is kind of down is, do you notice after every shot another team takes and it comes off the rim, who's the first person down the court, bro?
Yeah, he basket hogs. Yes, Obi Toppin. Yeah.
So is that coach telling him to sprint off? Or is that his natural instinct? Because you can coach him to rebound. He's athletic as fuck, dog. Yeah. So I know he can rebound, but I'm saying that's probably one of the reasons why he doesn't get a lot of rebounds. On top of the fact that, let me see here, Jericho Sims held it down, and Alec Burks held it down, and you know Emmanuel Quickly held it down. Also, we got to remember that Tibbs loves his guards to rebound. That I think that's one of the main things. Like, he loves his guards to mix it up too. So I think the Obi rebounding thing. I think you could be a little lenient with it, but I understand why you get on him about it. You're 6'9", 240. You jump out the gym. Get me 7 rebounds, brother.
Yeah. I mean, you know, even with his athleticism, he should be able to get, like, you know, a lot of loose ball rebounds, that type of thing. But you know, now with the NBA, there's a lot more triple doubles because this because of this 3-point line shit. You know, the Knicks. I mean, Obi was 6 of 9, which is incredible. You know, Alec Burks put up 6 of them. You know, yep. Evan Fournier put up 10. Emmanuel Quickly put up 9. You know what I'm saying? McBride put up 4. So there's a lot of long rebounds. You know, so you know, that's why the guards are able to rebound as much. You see, Quickly with six, he almost had a triple double himself, man. 6'10" and 23. I mean, you know, is he a point guard? You know, the way that the NBA plays now, there's no Mark Jacksons anymore. You know, there's no Rod Stricklands. There's no there's not even a Magic Johnson or anything. Like really, the closest thing we got to that is maybe LeVar Ball. You know, there's not nobody else really passes the ball like that. You know, so
LaMelo.
Huh? LaMelo. That's a LeVar, ball. Right? Yeah, LeVar is the father, right? God damn. Yo, you might be pregnant, man. Shit. Yo, man, God bless if you are, man. But I'm saying, you know, it's just, you know, the NBA, the way the teams play now, you know, it's not like how it used to be. You know, even say like a guy like Westbrook. Westbrook gets triple doubles and stuff like that, but they're meaningless. You know, he's like he has like some of the most meaningless stats ever in the history of the NBA, you know, because look at how bad the Lakers are playing, or look at how bad all his teams have been playing the last couple of years of his career.
Let's be
respectful.
I'm a Russell Westbrook fan.
Yeah.
But what you're not gonna do is say his triple doubles is empty. Oh, because I'm only gonna say this because the year that he was by himself when KD left, he did what he could do. He did the best he could do. Anybody that we can shit on triple doubles all we want. Let's go to a court basketball court and let's run a full court game and let's see how hard it is to grab a rebound, facilitate an offense, assist, try to score, grab more rebounds. We gotta get some respect to that man, bro. And come on now, but fuck the Lakers too, because they're trying to sully my boy.
Yeah, I get it. You know, it is hard athletically to do that stuff, man. But if you're doing all of that and you're still losing, then something's got to give right with that too, man. You know, you're not making anybody better. Who has Westbrook ever made better?
Wow.
That could be disrespectful too.
So I say this: he made a bunch of players better.
Yeah.
It wasn't at that time, but those said players. All of them thank Russell Westbrook for their development. Victor Oladipo, Sabonis, even PG. PG had his best year next to Russ. People low-key don't remember that. Because, you know, Russ receives the most land I've ever seen, bro, from an NBA player. And, I thought Knicks fans was bad. Like, Laker fans was, trashing him, bro. Death threats to his family. Like, at least we hold each other accountable. Like, at least Nick Twitter, like, they'll spot out somebody on Nick Twitter and be like, yo, dog, man, that shit ain't cool. Like, stop that. And then everybody will bomb that person to get their point across. Like, that shit was disgusting, man. I don't think the Lakers season is all on him. You get what I'm saying? Just like I don't think the Knicks season is all on Randle. Like, you can't single out somebody just because you dislike them.
Yeah, there's levels to it. It's not fair. It's not fair to do that to people, man. There's levels to basketball, you know?
Yeah. That's why when we shit on Julius Randle, we make sure that we give him praise at the same time. You know, that's why I always say, you know, once a Nick, always a Nick. I always love Julius Randle. But fuck you, bitch, because you want to tell me shut the fuck up.
Damn.
Fuck you, man.
I love it, man. That's New York style of talk. That's just how we talk, you know. So and when it goes on Twitter, there's a lot of people that are not from New York or whatever, it's just the era is a little bit different. People just are not the same like how they used to be. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, you know, the way that we talk, that's how it is. If I say your RJ fucking sucks, you know, he might have had a bad game. You know, say I could call, you know, all out his name and all this, that, and the other. You say he got like baby legs and all this other stuff, you know, but then he'll have a good game. And now I could be like, yeah, he's the greatest player to ever play. He's going to be an all-star. Like you said, Hall of Famer. You know what I'm saying? I already give him a jacket already. You know what I'm saying? But that's the way it is. Who gives a fuck? You know, and, you know, fuck you too if you don't like it. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. It's just sports. You know, we just, you know, just having fun with it.
It is what it is, man. You know, I just try to put that good energy behind them young boys, man. I just try to put that good energy, man. That's all. But yeah, this is a tough, tough sight that I'm looking at, man. Sad that we can't be a part of this, but go ahead.
Yeah, it sucks, man. You know, I got John, you know, Joseph John. I always say John Joseph. Joseph John, yeah. Out of all 30 teams, how many starting traditional point guards are out there? And all right, I'm interested. So I'm like looking at the screen. How many are there? You got CP3, of course, over there.
Traditional.
Yeah, that's okay. It, really, right?
That's it. It's only Chris Paul. And, yeah, that's it.
I'm trying to see who else is out there that's like really traditional, you know, point guard like that. There's nobody.
Nobody. That style of basketball play died years ago. Chris Paul can still get his own shot. Chris Paul is next to Devin Booker, you know. So it's never going to be another Chris Paul again. If it is, may God bless him. I didn't see him in the NBA yet. But it's no such thing as traditional point guards anymore, man. That's why, you know, I try to not label quickly a point guard. I try to call him a combo guard. I try to call Jaden Ivey. He's a combo guard. He could play both point guard and shooting guard if need be. But there are certain players who are strictly shooting guards who cannot play point guard, like fucking Alec Burks.
Well, you know, Emmanuel quickly, right? Okay, he's not a traditional point guard, but, you know, a lot, you know, most teams don't run a traditional point guard. So is anybody out here that reminds you of quickly? Because, you know, if you want to talk about, like first step, you know, quickly, Clyde always says he got to learn not to give up his dribble, you know, but his first step, his ability to push the ball, I think these are a good, you know, signs of a good point guard. Plus, he talks, you know, quickly talks a lot. He directs traffic. You know, he's a leader. He's showing that he's a leader out there with these guys. And guys trust him. You know, Obi trusts him. It's like his best friend. You know, RJ, them have a good rapport. All these guys have good rapports with quickly. So, I mean, those are a big, you know, assets to have as your starting point guard, you know?
Damn, Dahl, you put me on the spot, man. He said, what archetype? Jamal Murray. That comes off the top of my brain. Yeah. So I'm looking at the Kings. Shit. See, everybody's point guard is different, though. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking at Kyrie Irving, you know, Cleveland Cavaliers. They got Darius Garland. Are they the same type of point guard? Yeah, not really, but they all under the same archetype umbrella, though. Trae Young, 30 and 10. That boy is amazing. Indiana Pacers, Haliburton, is he a traditional point guard?
He might be the closest. Jason Kidd vibes.
Which is that?
He give you Jason Kidd vibes?
Yes.
Yeah. He's about the closest to traditional, like for the like the young guys coming up.
Yeah.
Well, as far as old school, one guy that we don't like from Utah, that dude, Kyle Lowry. What's the other guy? Mike Conley, right? You know, maybe like a younger Mike Conley. That's what you know, quickly reminds you a little bit. But quickly, yeah, quickly's quick though, man.
Lowry don't remind me of a because Lowry will go get you 20 and 6. Like
I think quickly could do that though. I think if quickly was the lead, I think he'd be able to do that, 20 and 6.
Quickly as a lead guard, I'm going to piggyback off what Sean said earlier this morning. I think he could give me 18, 6, and 5 as the lead guard with like 30 minutes per game. Quickly, listen, man, I apologize to the kid. I did bad. I was shitting on him earlier this season. But that comes with the territory. When you're playing bad and you're a Knick player, I'm going to shit on you. You have people today, at a guy today tell me, shout out to my guy Kevin too, man. I love the dude, man. But he gonna tell me, oh, you flip-flop on quickly. So I'm supposed to praise this mother effer the whole year? So I'm supposed to sit there and say, yeah, he's playing well, but he's shooting 1 for 5 with 3 turnovers. Like, what do people want? I hate when people do that, bro. Mad annoying. Yeah.
Like life is not that simple. You could flip-flop all you want. Life changes constantly. You know, so you could be like this one day, and the next minute you can't be like, listen, like your lady, Mr. Perry, you know what I'm saying? You might be a fucking father, you know what I'm saying? So, like, the way that you start doing things are going to drastically change now between now and whatever, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, you're allowed to do that. You could be like, oh, man, I'm a, you know, I'll never settle down this setting. Next thing you know, you driving a minivan, you know what I'm saying? And changing diapers and all kind of shit, man. Things change, you know?
He said a minivan.
Yeah, driving a minivan. You ain't in the clubs no more. Your boys can't find you because you out with your, you know, doing what you got to do. You know, It is what it is.
Oh man.
But check out quickly his 36 point, 36 minutes of game stats. Last year as a rookie was 21 4-3. This year is 17 5 and basically 5-5 is 4.8. So I mean, I think he could do that if he got steady minutes. You know?
Yeah. I believe in Quickly, man. I was dead wrong about Quickly, man. I forever take that to the grave. Listen, he was just in a sophomore slump. I was angry because we was losing in a season where I felt like we should have been in the playoffs. He was in a slump. I remember crapping on RJ earlier this year. I was almost damn near say trade RJ. He was playing so damn bad. But that's just the frustration in me, like watching this team and having expectations. Like we just came off the fourth seed.
Yeah.
I had expectations. So, of course, I'm going to be feeling some type of way about him. But, you know, I had to bring it down, slow it down. State, he's a sophomore. He's 22. You coddle RJ so much. Why you can't coddle Quickly? You know, so I had to fall back. I had to be like, all right, my fault. I had to come back.
Yeah, I'm looking at this, man. This is kind of interesting. This is Don P914. This is his burner account right here. This is probably like I don't know who this is. This is what's the name? One of our GMs or whatever. This might be Worldwide West. Yeah, Worldwide West is burner account here. Trade Randall for Randall Quickly in a future second for D'Angelo Russell.
Absolutely.
That's too much for D'Angelo Russell.
Absolutely.
But I mean, I like the idea to get D'Angelo Russell. What do you think about that?
I do like it too, but Carl Anthony Towns don't like that idea. That's the reason why he stayed in Minnesota, bro.
Yeah.
I be trying to when I try to like talk about trades and stuff, like I try to like I'm starting to like get away from the whole like what could work for the Knicks, like what could work for us. I gotta start thinking about what works for the other team before I think about what works for us. Like that's if I trade Randall, it gotta be for a point guard. It has to be for a point guard. I mean, and the only deal, like the deal that keeps coming to my mind, I do not want this man on my team, but it's like the Thanos inevitable. Like it's Jalen Brunson for Julius Randle. Like it's aggravating, bro. Like it keeps coming back to me, bro.
I don't know, man. You know, he's a good player, so we need to get good players. Yeah. But we also got to think if you're gonna treat Julius Randle, now we have to build around certain guys. So would Jalen Brunson fit with Obi and RJ and some of the guys that we have?
Hell yeah, that's not even a debate. I think the debate is, how many more minutes is he going to play above Manny Quickly? I think that's the only debate there. But even before that debate, where did our lottery pick end up? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. So that's another thing too, because I mean, you know, there's so many different factors that we even if we knew that we for sure where we drafting, it's still not certain what we're gonna do with any of the things that we have, you know. You know, so, you know, I got the salary up here, right? So let's say if we trade Julius Randle, that's $23 million of salary. You know, everyone seems to want Fournier gone. You forget about Derrick Rose. He's getting $14 million this year. Burks is still here, $10 million. You got Nunes as well, got basically 10. Kemba basically got 10. You know, just going down the line there, man. That's a lot of salary for players that we don't want. You know, we're talking about Julius Randle, Fournier, Derrick Rose, Alec Burks.
Yes.
You know, that's mass salary, man. I don't have my calculator, but I mean, that's 20, 40, it's like 50, 60. That's damn near $80 million, if my math is correct, right? Is my math correct? That's a lot of fucking money right there. So that's like $80 million worth of salary that we don't want on the roster anymore because it's like useless contracts and they're taking away minutes from the young guys and this, that, and the other. So what do we do with all that money?
So you got to consolidate. I think the Knicks might have to give up a future asset in order to get off of Nerlens Noel's contract specifically. And then the sad part about it is I don't want to – all right, so here's the toughest thing. Like sometimes in life, like you got to give up certain things that you love in order to grow. So – if I had to like give up one of the kids this offseason in order to remove Randle in order to like try to get my team in order, I will have to do it. Which kid I would trade first? Everybody know RJ Barrett for me is untradeable. Everybody know, obviously, Julius Randle needs to be out the door. So, obviously, Obi Toppin is going to be on this team next season. After those two, dog, by all means.
That number is $86 million, man.
It is. And you got
$86 million of players that we don't want in the roster anymore.
That's true. No, but Evan Fournier is Evan Fournier, I like Evan Fournier. He's capable. Right. I like Evan Fournier.
All right, if you like Evan Fournier, so now you're talking about 60, what is it, 60, 67 million?
So my whole thing about Derrick Rose is I love Derrick Rose, man. I remember watching him growing up. My whole thing about Derrick Rose is if we get the second or third pick in this year's draft, I know the Knicks is going to take Jaden Ivey. There's no way. No, it is a way.
It's tough, man. It's tough.
It is.
Yeah, because the Knicks are not that good where we could be like, Banchero could suck my dick. Chet could go somewhere and go fuck himself or whatever. Now I'm just going to go for this guy.
No. You know? I specifically said the second or third pick because I said that's Paolo Banchero. He's the first pick.
I got you.
But the second or third pick, we're going to take Jaden Ivey. I think we're going to take Jaden Ivey. Woo! And if we take Jaden Ivey, what you gonna do with oh boy? That's tough, man.
Yeah, there's a lot of ifs, ands, and things going on here, man.
Hold on, let me go get my Nick jacket for somebody steal my good Nick jacket.
Hey, good luck with that, man. I mean, Chet is there. We got Jabari Smith. But Jabari Smith is going up in the draft conversation right now over Banchero. That's interesting. They both got, Banchero's bigger, 250, man. That kid is a huge monster. But, Jabari Smith is good, though. I give him that. He is pretty good. Jaden Ivey. So, I mean, what do you do, man? You have to draft the best player available. That's what I want to tell Steve. You got to draft the best player available. So, I mean, because the Knicks are not that good where we could just pick anybody. The best player available. So, what do we do? Like I say, if we were to, well, I think we can only jump up to the fourth spot. We can't jump anywhere in between. It's really like the big jump will be the fourth. Outside of that, what do you say, State? You got it?
Yeah, man.
Look at this shit. You see you a mile away and shit. What's that jacket?
Oh, man. Good looking, man. This is tough. Simulated, man. Simulated.
Oh, shit. Right. All right, you count it down. Count it down.
3, 2, 1.
I'm afraid to see if the Knicks went down or not. Nah, let me stay where we are at 12.
Oh, my God. Oh, it's Ty Walsh. Trade the pick. Do it again.
One more time?
Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Oh my God.
Do we move up or down? So right there. Look at Ty Ty. How pissed would you be if we got Ty Ty?
Yo, I would. If they chose Ty Ty over Dyson Daniels, I would lose my cool. I like the. Oh, I'm trying to see. Scroll down. Yo, I was so interested in winning this season, Die Hard. I don't know none of these fucking players, bro. We got to get a draft dude on here, bro. I don't know none of these dudes, bro.
Well, with that one that everyone keeps talking about, that Nikola Jovic, San Antonio always picks those European guys, but I think the Knicks might pick him if we're at 12.
I throw myself off a building, man.
Well, it's the stash thing, because I mean, last year we gave up our second round. It was the Charlotte pick, I think we gave up, right?
Yeah,
something like that. No, we got the Charlotte pick, but we ended up trading
We traded back.
Right,
and we had got an extra asset.
Right.
Do that again, bro. You gotta do that again, bro. You gotta do that.
Let's do it.
It's shaking up a little bit. Nah, you gotta do. Nah, do it again. Do it until the Knicks move up or something, bro. You gotta appease us.
Bro. you got to remember that now we only got what 7%. We had 7% right now. All right, so let's do it.
Oh,
I mean,
man.
It don't look good, man.
Not. And I want you to keep doing it. This is what I wanted to avoid, right? Now, you see how we're sitting here, and you're constantly pressing this button, and the Knicks have not moved up once. Damn. Once.
That's wow. Impressive, man.
This is impressive. These are the meaningless wins. These are what they get you. But it's not all meaningless if the kids get you those wins, right? I love wins that the kids get. But I'm still a little salty at some of those wins because, dear God damn, man, we can't.
Yo, it's funny, too, because like everybody's talking about Alec Burks, but it's true. Alec Burks played all these minutes, and this is a game where Washington wasn't trying to win. You know, but Tom Thibodeau was going hard today. All of a sudden, now he remembers how to coach, you know, against a team that's actively trying not to win, you know, because they want to get a higher percentage. They actively – everybody knows they're trying to tank. You know, they shut down Kuzma and all those guys, too, you know?
Yep. I'm telling you, NBA gods don't like that. They didn't like what OKC did last year, gave them the sixth pick. So I hope the NBA gods keep doing that to these set teams who keep bullshitting and tanking, because that was disgusting, bro. Like, you're literally just sitting players. And, you know, that goes against what me, Jay, and Ari were saying about the game yesterday. Like, why the fuck the Knicks didn't sit RJ Barrett? Like, that goes against what we saying. But then I could rebuttal to how me, Ari, and Jay feel and say, if the NBA gods deem you worthy, and if you do it the right way, you go about your business the right way. Hey, stop right here.
After like 50 times. Stop, but look right who else came up. What, the Wizards came up too, because the whole time the Wizards didn't move up either. I'm looking for them to move up. They're the team that we lost that got us into the 7%, but they didn't move up either. But this time we moved both at the same time.
So basically in this draft, from what I just got from this lottery, the only way the Knicks is for sure moving up is if the Wizards is also moving up and OKC and Detroit move back. I don't like the fact that the Rockets get the one pick, though. I think Adam Silver need to give them the fourth pick. They don't deserve that one pick.
They're the worst team, though.
You're right. Matter of fact, give the black man the one pick. Matter of fact, I'm bugging. Give the black man the one pick, man. I'm bugging. But
a team like that too, they like to play small ball. They don't want a center, so I don't know if they're gonna take Chet Holmgren.
Oh god, they taking Chet. Chet with Jalen. What? How do you pass up on Chet? That's marketable. That's Yao Ming-ish.
He's a 7-foot small ball center, big time.
So let's say for argument's sake, we get the 2 pick, and Chet goes 1. I don't know if the Rockets will pick Chet. Cool. You got the 2 pick. Jaden Ivey, Paolo Banchero's on the board. Who you taking, man?
Well, Tankathon took Jabari Smith.
Tankathon is stupid as shit. So, so we going to ignore Tankathon. I'm not taking Jabari Smith. I'm not taking no big who shoots under 50% under the three-point line in college. I'm good on that. That is scary, bro. Any place he's supposed to play close to the rim, the dude got no moves around the basket. Like, I'm good on him. But if I'm wrong about Jabari Smith, shit, by all means.
Well, but you can't be wrong. Once you give your take, that's it. Once you say it, you can't retract it. You know, guys are going to be screenshotting and videotaping what you said back in 2022. But meanwhile, it's like 2034. Remember that? Remember back in 2022 when you said this, that, and the other, man? Fuck you, man. Yeah. But I mean, at the second pick, man, I don't know. I don't want to be that GM that takes you know, say, like, let's say if they took Jabari Smith. Let's say it's one of those scenarios where Jabari, Banchero, and these guys are working out, and Jabari busts his ass, and the Knicks are impressed, and they take Jabari, right?
But Kevin Knox? Don't Kevin Knox me now.
I'm telling you. But could you imagine that happens, and we take Jabari, and he ends up being a bust, but then Jaden Ivey becomes Jordan, you know, this generation's version of Jordan?
You know why? So I like what you just said. You answered the toxic fan base segment with what you just said. You know why I don't feel that way? because Walt Perrin, I trust him. I fully trust the background guys that we don't see every day to get these guys rolling. I didn't, you know, the Quentin Grimes pick, I didn't really look up Quentin Grimes last season, but I remember we did a draft show and then I had to like actually look at Quentin Grimes and see what he does. And yo, he was a great pick for what we're trying to do. He's not a superstar yet. He's not the one that popped. But he was a great pick. Quickly, great pick. Obi, great pick. These are all late late lottery pick, late first round picks. These are great picks. So, you know, I trust whoever Walt Perrin picks. He picked Darren Williams at 3, so I trust him. But he also picked Anus Cancer, I believe, at 5. So it's scary.
Yeah. Well, you know, survey just said, just told me to scroll down. So I scroll down. I'm looking at where the Knicks would have picked. How come Ty Williams is nowhere near there? Wherever the guy's name, Ty, whatever. Ty Washington. How come he's nowhere near where we picked that? He's like at 15 now all of a sudden. You know. Why do all draft sites want us to take Ty Washington?
You know why.
The Kentucky connection. I got you.
Oh, somebody did ask about Jalen Duran. That's an interesting name to me. Jalen Duran, I believe you gotta scroll up, bro. I believe he's up.
He's up here somewhere?
Yeah, he's the center for Memphis. Young boy.
Okay, there you go. Yep.
I like Jalen Duran. Personally, I watched one of the Memphis games in the tournament. That kid is strong, athletic. He gave me Dwight Howard vibes. Defensively, a little shaky, but could be a great replacement, you know, for Thou Shalt Not Name right now. But I wouldn't mind Jalen Duran. But that's in a sense of, you know, Mitch is going to walk. That's in a sense of, you don't really think Sims is ready yet. And that's also in the sense of you had got another first round pick. Because I would not want the Knicks to, you didn't lose this season for you to pick Jalen Duran with your lottery pick, not another pick. That don't really make sense to me.
Well, if you let Mitch walk, then that's interesting. You know, but I mean you're talking about picking him down here at like, you know, 11, 12. Depending on where we at, you know. So I mean, that's not so bad, you know. Especially if Mitch leaves. If Mitch leaves, we got, you know, we'll have him, and then we'll have, you know, Sims in the fold, you know, developing together. You know, it kind of balances it out because outside of I'm thinking Jabari, but is Jericho Sims, you know, out of that, we don't have too many other big man prospects, you know. But we have a lot of point guard prospects. We got a lot of wing prospects and stuff. I mean, it's interesting. All these names, we're going to be very, we're going to be like more like, you know, locked into these names as time goes on. You know, because like other names too, like Johnny Davis and Benedict Mathurin, whatever his name is. There's a lot of names here that's going to be popping soon.
We'll see, bro. Look, I'm getting some. Oh, wow. It's not a screen. Oh, finally. Damn.
What happened?
So I'm going to meet you. I'm going to meet you later on at your house because I miss you. What? Oh, God.
So what happened? What happened just now?
I think, bro, listen, man, I'm a first timer. Right. I guess this is the beginning stages of pregnancy. So I'm getting it firsthand. I literally cursed somebody out on Twitter earlier and I had to delete the tweet and I had to tell him sorry because she was getting on me and I have no way to like get at her because I don't want to upset her. So
right. What happens, man? I think I might have cursed out my son's mother back in the days, mad times. When I was younger, you know, I'm in my 20s. So, you know, I just had that anger in me anyway. So, you know, as soon as I found out she was pregnant, I think I must have cursed her out for like the first couple months that she was pregnant. You know, so I mean, it happens. It's you know, her hormones are up, and then, you know, obviously yours are gonna be up too. You know, so because you guys are connected now.
Yeah.
You know, so it's gonna be crazy.
So I'm just the Knicks, man. The Knicks. Oh man, my patience is being run thin, man. I I hope I could go through this summer. I hope Leon Rose show love this summer, bro. Yeah. Like, I know tomorrow, I guess tomorrow's our last game. So I know tomorrow I'm going to have some notes in my phone tonight because I guess tomorrow's going to be the recap of this season. And I guess we're going to talk about each player individually. I'm going to have stats on each player. We're going to talk about them each individually. And we're going to talk about the future of each player. But obviously, a half an hour to an hour is going to be dedicated to Leon Rose and Tibbs. Because we have to talk about this guy. Yes, Julian, I think she is, bro. Yes. Yes, bro. She's asking for red velvet pancakes and then wants oodles and noodles, bro. Yes, bro. Yes.
Bro. She might just be hungry, though, to tell you the truth. She might just be hungry.
Nah, she ain't never asking for goddamn red velvet pancakes, bro. What? No, but ask for red velvet pancakes, bro.
Have you met my wife, man? My wife is a savage, man. You should see what's in my cabinet. I, like I told you, I just finished sleeping, right? So I'm like, Dan, did you make anything to eat? No, she didn't make nothing to eat. She said, go get some cereal or whatever. Look at this. So I open up the cabinet, look, see what's in there. Ain't nothing but bullshit in that freaking cabinet. Everything is gonna make my titties grow more than it is now, you know. So, you know, women, once you get them, they try to keep you fucked up, man. You know what I'm saying? Because they don't want you out there messing around or whatever. But also too, man, I tell you, like you know. Every month is like a roller coaster with my wife, man. It's like, oh, so, yeah, I'm late in my periods. Ah, shit, here we go. You know what I'm saying? So now, like all week, it's like we rolling the dice, this and the other. Next thing you know, like I'm touching her or whatever. She's like, listen, I got my period. Oh, fuck, you know. So it's, you know, every month is the same thing, man. You know, once you're living with somebody like that, and you know, every month is a damn roller coaster, man.
Oh God, I gotta start getting used to it, brother. The Knicks gotta win next season, bro. I can't deal with that and the Knicks losing, bro.
Yeah, but if we trade Julius, right, and we just got Obi Toppin as a power forward and stuff like that, that's a lot of pressure on those guys to succeed,
pressure.
They gotta win, though. You know, and if Obi Toppin is starting power forward, oh shit! You know who's the number one guy? RJ Barrett. Oh shit! You know the fire is on now, man. You know what I'm saying?
It's funny because it's people like you. It's people like you. It's others too. It's people in the thread as well, right? Shout out to thread members. A lot of them is like, yo, we can't wait for Brandon to get off this team. Cause as soon as he get off this team, you know state can't protect the kids. And I know I can't. So
yeah. ACS is gonna be coming for the Knicks, man. That's how fucking bad we're gonna be fucked up. The kids, we're gonna be abusing these kids on this roster once all the scapegoats are gone. Ooh. You know, it's gonna be rough out there for a kid, man. You know?
Ooh. Cause once Randall's gone, now I can. Now, first of all, like I'm gonna hold RJ very accountable, but I feel like the way me and Dahar are gonna be treating RJ can take the he can take the slander. It's not like it's not like Randall. You know what I'm saying? Like me and Dahar will never come on a pod and we talking and we questioning RJ Barrett's effort. We've never questioned Quickley's effort, Obi Toppin's effort. RJ's effort. Like, we never question on their effort. So, you know, Pampers is coming off next season, man. So, y'all gonna be, y'all thought I was harsh on Randall. Let RJ Barrett get a max contract and he fucking scores 5 fucking points. Let him get a max and he scores 5 fucking points. I dare him.
I mean, you know, listen, man. You know, RJ starts off slow a lot too, you know. I'm gonna do something to you.
I want to hear that RJ start off slow bullshit. He goes through
ups and downs. In the beginning of this is the stats from the beginning of this year. You know, you see he started off you know slow in the first couple games. Then he got hard. He went crazy. He had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 straight games.
He got sick. Remember, he got sick. He caught the bug. 6 points, 15 points, 9 points, 2 points, 12.
Look at this little period here where he was doing whatever. You say he got sick, but you know, superstars get sick all the time. You know what I'm saying? He was averaging 10, 6, you know, for that period. Was it how many games is this? It was 10 games, 10 game period. He was averaging 10 points a game. Nah, not if you're the man. Mm-mm. Not if you're the man.
And to the chat and to Die Hard, if I'm coming off a little, if I sound like I'm coming off soft towards RJ and I sound like I'm, by all means, curse my ass out. Curse, by all means, because that's the only reason why I'm saying it's acceptable now is because he's on a rookie scale deal still. He's 21. And RJ Barrett admittedly said, yeah, I was sick. I had a bug that month. And that was the month of November, right? Yeah. So it all aligns. And that's the same, around the same time Tibbs said RJ Barrett, he wasn't in the gym. And this, that, and the third. And that was when I condemned Tibbs for saying, who the fuck are you to tell RJ Barrett he ain't in the fucking gym? How the fuck you gonna say? But RJ Barrett really wasn't in the gym because he was at home shitting. So I mean, listen, man, RJ Barrett, I love you, dog. I love you. You, all this shit talking I've been talking for you past 3 years, bro. You improved every season, bro. 17 to 20.
Yeah, we talking about like excuses and shit like that. Julius Randle, people saying that he just had a baby, maybe he's home changing diapers and shit like that. Nobody wanted to give a fuck about that. So ain't nobody gonna give a damn about RJ Barrett and his diarrhea, his problems like that. They're gonna be like, yo. Well, I don't even have it anymore. What happened to the hand sanitizer? Get yourself some hand sanitizer, man. Get your ass on the court and start putting up them numbers. You know what I'm saying? You the man now.
Fucking numbers. Look, even if you in a dry spell, right? Affect winning, right? That's all I want. I like affect winning as a Knicks fan for 21 years and seeing only 4 winning seasons, and I'm sitting here at my job talking about the Knicks. While my guy back there is listening to me, and a security guard just pulled up. Yo, what up? Yo, what up, Brody? You get what I'm saying? Like, RJ got to show up next season. But before even RJ, I know we talked about the kids and quickly, and we're going to start holding these guys to a higher standard, including RJ. Dog, you know who's going to get the worst judgment right next season too, right? You know what? Once the scapegoat is gone, Julius Randle. You know who hills we on, right?
Who's that?
Tom Thibodeau. I mean, I can't wait to shit on him.
Yeah, but I mean, Tom Thibodeau's already dead already to us, man. But you know, a lot of people, they still vouching for him. You know, let's say if we go through dry spells and stuff, that exactly what they're gonna say. They're gonna say, oh, he don't have a go to guy. He misses Julius Randle. He misses that. They're gonna be on that shit. You know, they're like, oh, look who's on the roster.
Yo,
you know, look who we got.
Yo, that is, yo, fans do that. Yo, that's when you start losing credibility. When a fan say some shit, somebody say some shit like that to me next season, I'm blocking them. I'm not doing that. I'm blocking. I'm gonna straight up block you. I'm not even going to get into that convo no more because it's stupid. It's a waste of time. I don't hear that bullshit, man. I don't hear that bullshit. But I'm going to shit on Tibbs next season though. He run, yo. And here's another thing about Tibbs too. This the main thing. Tibbs been with these boys for 2 years now, Die Hard. Yo, if he come out the next season with the same offense, bro, same sets, bro, running the same post-ups, bro.
You know he is. You know he is. He did it last. He ran the same plays that we ran last year and this year, no matter how many different lineups and injuries we had, he still ran the same offense no matter what happened. God. I just got to say something, man. This guy, he says, what kind of moron loves to shit on people? You know what I'm saying?
New Yorker.
But, yo, his name is Ken Sniffy Jr. Your name is Ken Sniffy Jr. You were talking about who loves to shit on people? I think somebody named Ken Sniffy Jr. might appreciate it. Oh, you know? God.
Who loves to shit on people? New Yorkers?
Somebody lawyers, named Sniffy.
NBA GMs? Julius homeless, Randle? No?
Homeless people?
Homeless people? Wait, I had a homeless person. Yo! I had a homeless person tell me he was full. I tried to give him a sandwich from work. He told me he was full. Y'all look at him. I said, yo. Y'all gave him the shit. Y'all said, yo, you gonna take this bag, bro. You gonna take this fuck bag, bro. Don't you ever tell me you full again. You got some nerve.
What? Maybe I don't know. Maybe he was like just came from like Sunday school. I mean, he was full of the spirit or something. Maybe that's what it was.
Get the fuck out of here.
There was a homeless dude that when I used to live I used to live uptown, Upper West Side. I lived over there for a little while. So there was a homeless guy, a Spanish dude. He used to live between like 80 something to like, he stayed between 80 something and 100 or something. He used to always be there. So yo, he had acid reflux. You know, how do I know this? Because we tried to give him stuff plenty of times. He's like, nah, I can't eat that. So we mean you can't eat that? Motherfucker, if you don't take this shit, because I don't want to carry it no more. You know, I knew you was going to be around. So I said, let me hold it. When I see him, I'm going to give it to him. He looked at it and said, nah, I can't eat this. He gave it back. I'm like, what the fuck? Because he got like acid reflux and, you know, it messes with this, that, and that. I'm like, get out of here, man. So how are you staying alive? Because he wasn't skinny. You know, people be taking care of them homeless people. That's probably why he passed up the food, because somebody probably already hooked them up. Wow. Like some leftovers or something.
Man, if I was homeless, I'm taking all the fucking food I can get. I think I don't know, man. Everybody's different, bro. Everybody's different, bro. I guess I put this on the screen purposely, bro. I guess this is the last thing. And I guess we could get out of here, because tomorrow I really want to get into tomorrow's show. Is probably gonna be like 2 to 3 hours. So I'm gonna make sure that everything is done before 5 o'clock, because we gotta really talk about this team. But when I listened to, how did you feel about that comment, by the way? Did you listen to that?
What's that?
When Tibbs compared Obi to Taj Gibson, to a young Taj Gibson.
I mean, his answer is Taj Gibson every single time, no matter what. Oh, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, that's why I appreciate Taj Gibson. Blah, blah. I mean, what if we just won? We just beat a team by like 30, but you really here talking about Taj Gibson? Like, I mean, you know, Tom Tibbs he's crazy, bro. So I mean, I don't believe nothing he say, man.
But does that help Obi's case though? Because if that's all I want, the guys that's Tibbs guys, I wish they was the young boys. You wouldn't hear a fucking word from me. You think I complained quickly on the court for 40 minutes? No.
I don't know, man.
Man, Tibbs is crazy. How the fuck you compare Obi Toppin, an uber athletic guy, to Taj Gibson? But he did clarify, he said not the play style, but the way Obi walks in the gym, and you could tell that he's in the gym. Like, Obi's a energetic guy, comes on the bus, energy guy. Even when he's on the court, energy guy. All his teammates love him.
So what is he saying? That Obi Toppin is a backup?
Bro, that whole backup quarterback bullshit that Tim said earlier this season, that was stupid. That was stupid. I think he said that out of frustration.
Personally. Well, this is Taj Gibson's stats for his career. You know, early on, he's basically been putting up the same numbers his whole damn career. He had a couple of seasons where he averaged on double figures, one, two, three, four seasons, double figures, four, five, six. Seven, what is it? One, two, three, four, five, six seasons of double figures. But basically, all the other numbers are the same. You want to talk about the rebounds, five, whatever, you know, not too many assists, you know, not too many rebounds, not too many steals. You know, that's been him his whole career. So he thinks this is Obi Toppin. You know, I don't know, man.
Say that. I mean, just, I guess, man. Yo, what up, buddy? Yo, how your Sixers, man? Literally, Sixers fan. like, yo, I holler at you, man. Don't laugh at me. I know we not in the playoff. You don't got to laugh at me. I know Julius Randle. I saw the
jacket. I already knew it was time for me to spin back and go the other way, man. I know y'all wasn't going to let me live.
Yeah, you tried to sneak off, too. Yeah, I bet you did. Yo, I holler at you, man. Oh man, yo, Sherman. So, this also I want to do too. I would like to do this too. I'm going to ask around on Twitter. I'm actually going to post on Twitter right after this podcast. But I would like for somebody, because I don't have the patience to do this. But Sherman, you know, the Knicks. We'll run the same system next year. It's the same offense as Golden State and Denver. It's called a modified triangle. We lack shooters to run that system. Maybe we lack shoot. No, we do have shooters. We lack IQ. So I disagree with that. I need somebody to actually show us what was Tibbs running this season besides that bum ass dribble handoff and that bum ass double screen from the from the top of the key, or that bum ass everybody stand still, somebody comes give me a pick and roll, and I think I'm a pass or I think I'm a shoot. Like,
But I mean, you know what? What I even have to do? Have you, did you notice we run anything else? You know, we don't run this. We don't run anything. Even after a timeout, we don't run a play. You know, so I mean, you know, always, you know, Tom Thibodeau saying that he suggests that guys are blowing plays all the time. You know, that I mean, if your players are blowing plays like to this degree, this is professional basketball. That means that the coaches, I mean, it's a testament to how bad the coach is. Because if your team is not grasping the playbook, you know, then that's a testament to you. Because they're playing hard, you know, so you can't constantly blame them by making little tiny mistakes on a play. Because that happens. Basketball, when you play basketball, plays are never ran, you know, perfectly. You know, because sometimes, like, if you think a defender is going to stand a certain way, he might stand a different way. You know, and that just messes up the whole play. But basketball is a game of improvisation. You know, yes. It's not like, you know, like straight, like robotic, like, oh, I'm running a play and it's going to run to perfection. And, you know, and you're going to blame the players for not making a crisp pass or he didn't extend the elbows on that pass. That's why, nah, man, it's like the basketball is a game of improvisation, you know, so. No, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, but you know, if you want to talk about setting picks, our guys don't even touch the players setting picks, man. I've never seen that. Golden State, you know, Golden State's big man. You know, if you want to talk about Draymond Green sets great picks, man.
Great picks. Yep.
Yeah, and you know, guys are always open because of those picks, not because you know. I mean, I don't know, man. Tom Thibodeau was a fucking liar, man. He's a liar. I'm tired of it already, man. With that.
Taj is our best screen setter, and that's sad. Yeah, I gotta save that for like the off season special. Like we need to identify what this team needs, because like I love Mitch, I love Jericho Sims, I love Taj Gibson, but let's be realistic now. Pick one out of the two between Mitchell and Sims, right? I just seen the young boy over there in New Orleans, two-way player. He got his 4-year deal. If Mitch decides to walk, sign and trade him. Sign Jericho Sims to a 4-year deal, probably $6 million. Keep him in the building. Go get me. Now, in this scenario, dog, that's why I would like a vet big who can set screens, bro. just touch the guy. Even Julius Randle slip screens. Mitch is a horrible screen setter. Jericho Sims set okay screens, but he's still too young. He's still wet behind the ears. But definitely, and we need a goon. We need a goon so bad. We need a jackass on the team. We don't like, but everybody's nice. Oh, you know, I like to play with it. No, I'm done with that. We need a goon. We need a starting point guard. We need a lot of things, but, you know.
So you said we needed a big man that could set screens and shit? Is that what you said?
Like, I don't expect to see Taj Gibson play next season. Right. And compounded with the fact that Mitch might walk, and I'm scared about that. I think about it every day now.
Right.
On top of the fact that Jericho Sims is still on a two-way deal. So now it comes to me being realistic and me coming to reality. Like,
But I'm sorry, I'm just trying to get a show. You say you want to get a veteran center? That's what you said?
I might have to get a veteran center, bro.
You don't find that suspicious?
Oh, because I know. I know he's going to do
it. I mean, this looks like a veteran center to me, man. This is a guy you say you didn't want, right? So, you know, while State is doing laps around the office right now, let's take a look at Nurkic's stats for his career. Don't count the beginning, because he was playing with Joker over there. They were splitting minutes in Denver. Okay, so let's look at his Portland career. From Portland, he's been averaging, you know, for his Portland career. Ta-da! All right, 13 points a game, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 block. It's decent. You know, it's not somebody that's gonna give, you know, average like a lot of money per year. So it's somebody that we could touch, and he's a veteran guy.
We'll see how much
set picks.
Maybe Damian Lillard love him, because Damian Lillard definitely brought him up in his interview. But we'll see, man. Yo, you're gonna have me go down this damn rabbit hole, man.
And he's only 27. You know what I'm saying? You saw him with the he had the herringbone chain and shit with the freaking mock neck. with the blazer. So he might got mafia ties or something like that, you know?
Oh man.
Wanna talk about a goon?
Yeah, he's a goon, man. I guess we got into everything, man.
Yeah.
I gotta go deal with Miss Crazy. Well, Miss Mensa, but hey, listen, man. I love my career, bro. Honestly, like, if I just started at my job, I would not be able to do what I'm doing right now. To do what I'm doing right now while I'm at work, you had to put in the work. AKA, people have to trust you in order to let you do what the fuck you want to do. So obviously, I'm the big dog at my job. So, you know.
That's good for you, because I know I can't do that.
Oh, now I put in the work, brother. I do favors and all. You know how many under the hand tables I done did for men? They know. I'm pretty sure somebody from NYU, they know.
Yo, do you know how long I'm working at my job, man? For fucking 19 years, bro. I can't even walk in and chew gum without somebody saying some shit to me. You know what I'm saying? I've been working at that place for 19 years.
I'll say this. Right now, I have a whole... My management, all of them has changed. So I have nothing but women in my management. I'll tell you right now, I love working for women. They're easy to work with. I look at all of them like they my auntie. So it's hard for me to like smooth talk them whenever I want to do something that I want to do, as long as I do them a favor. So it works out well.
Sounds like it's like bullshit to me, man. That's what it sounds like.
Nah, it is bullshit, but Eru, you can read between the lines, man. That's work speak. Like how they got coach speak, that's work speak.
Yeah, I got you.
So I don't know what time the game is tomorrow, but dog, I guess we could get on tomorrow. Tomorrow, let's get on at 8:30. So we could really like talk about just nip this whole season in the butt. Pause, by the way. Been watching so many Dame Dash interviews, but I guess you could pull up the whole the podcast joint, you know, where people could find us, man. Oh, for everybody, I'm uploading. Apple Podcasts, Player FM, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Amazon Alexa. So for everybody, I'm uploading 4 new audios tonight on State of the New York Knicks, and we're going to keep the conversation going. I hope nobody else follows my way of doing it, because I like to keep the conversation going. I like the fact that, you know, I could post the audio that we had from 4 days ago and the conversation is still going to keep going. So that's why I do that. So, you know, you probably be next that. Yo, these fucking guys, bro, this fucking shit.
Yeah, I mean, I saw it too, but I'm ignoring it, man. I mean, it, like, you know how much, like janitors make bread too. Like janitors where I work, them guys make like over $60,000 a year. That's what I overtime.
Bro, he don't know what the fuck he talking. Janitor, yo, when I was growing up, we used to laugh at janitors. When I started working at the hospital and found out the janitor make $35 an hour, that's when you stop laughing at them fucking janitors with them high school diplomas and you start learning that your rent need to be paid.
Yeah, man. I mean, freaking sanitation workers and stuff like that. Oh, don't be a garbage man. That's what people say. Oh, go to school, don't become a garbage man. Yo, there's people that you know, went to the private sector, went to school and stuff, left to get the sanitation job because they tired of the fucking bullshit. You know, they want better benefits. They want, you know, competitive pay instead too, man. So, you know, it is what it is. You got to pay your bills and you got to take care of yourself too, man. So, you know, whatever it is.
This is fact, man. Health is wealth, man. Everybody know that. Where my damn cell phone? I lost my damn shit. Oh, my cell phone right here. But, yeah, health is wealth, man. People be trying to skip step like me. I skipped a step last week. And the step that I skipped last week was eating. So what I did last week was I said I'm going to, instead of cooking, right? Because I spent over $100 in the supermarket for no reason. Why the fuck is a family pack of hamburger meat almost $20, by the way? But anyways, no, I buys a gyro.
from the chicken spot, 12:30 at night.
Strike one.
Better cook it. Brother, when I tell you I caught food poisoning, I said, damn, I should have just made my own shit.
You should have kept walking. That's what you should have did.
Mind my damn business, right? Oh, man. Well, yeah, man, I guess I'm out of here, man. I appreciate you guys, man. Yo, brother BKL, man, don't laugh at those janitors, man. Them dudes be making bread, bro. Them dudes be driving BMs and all that, man. I be seeing those dudes. They got nice cars in the parking lot downstairs at NYU, brother. So, you know, be humble. But, dog, I'm out of here, my guy. I see you tomorrow. Nick Nation, I see you tomorrow. Paris Duggar, Paris Nice, I appreciate you. Julian, Brian, Don, 914. Drip Major. And also tomorrow, and Kevin McLeod, also tomorrow I will be connecting, I will be connecting Twitter Spaces to our convo as well. So everybody, so one at a time though, we're going to have people come in, get their take, and then, you know, get to the next person. But yeah, dog, I'm out of here, my guy. I see you tomorrow.
See you, man. Yep. I was going to say something. I can't remember where the guy's tweet is. Here it goes. Pudge came in late. So Pudge says that he can see me working for the Knicks or whatever soon. That'll be nice, you know, but I don't want to be no company man. That's one thing they got to figure that shit out. And then if I'm working for the Knicks, State is working for the Knicks too. You know what I'm saying? So put the word out there for whoever's watching and stalking and like to look at the pod to use ideas and stuff for your business, because I'm quite sure – a lot of people do that. A lot of things that the Knicks do, I'm like, yo, didn't I say that on a pod not too long ago? Now they're doing, look at them doing it. You know, especially with the beer. You know, I feel like I've been drinking, the freaking Michelob Ultra. Now all of a sudden they got a Michelob Ultra chair at the freaking MSG, man. So listen, man, you know, stop stalking me. And if you like me, man, send me an email, you know, diehard Knicks blog, you know, at Gmail, man. Stop fucking with me, man. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, salute to everyone out there that tunes into the Dire Knicks podcast, Dire State of Mind. Funny shit tonight, if you guys are still listening, State is about to go on tonight at 2 a.m. again with Andy. So if you up and you know, you're doing whatever and you want to hear some bullshit, tune in live to Andy and State tonight at 2 a.m. They'll be on at 2 a.m. Yo, I might be on there, you know, because I gotta be up at 3, so I might just wake up a little early just so I can hang out with them. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, that it's the grind. You can see right now it's 11 o'clock and I got to be up at 3. What the hell's going on here? But you do what you got to do to do what you love, man. So anyway, you know, if you miss the 2 a.m. show, you can also watch it on the replay, man. So I'm going to get, I'm going to work on something with that right now. And then right now I'm just going to call it a night, man. So anyway, I see you guys next time. Four fingers to the forehead, tucking that thumb. Salute. I see you mother effers later. Bye.